Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game got a busy couple of segments here for Producer G. As we took so many of your calls, we haven't gotten to the true or false questions or the producer six packs. So we'll get those in the next hour and 20 minutes as well. We'll also let you hear our conversation with Will McFadden. All you Falcons fans who want the latest from Flowery Branch, Will is the senior reporter, writer, editor, you name it. He does it all. He and Tori McElhaney for AtlantaFalcons.com. So he has all the boots on the ground report, everything that you need to hear. Garrett, let's settle a debate real quick before we get to some true and false questions. Because for those who don't know, most of you do know by now, but I am from New York. Not New York State, New York City, but that's where I grew up. And around this time every year, we know that it starts to get a little chilly out there. Not so much here in Atlanta, although these past 2 days have been an outlier. But it's usually, you know, I'd say Atlanta's a good, Garrett, I'd say 15-ish, maybe sometimes 20 degrees warmer on average than New York during this time of year. But I have got, okay, so full disclosure, I wear shorts. I do not wear pants unless I have to. I am a pants mandated only situation. So if I have a wedding or if I have a, you know, a nice event I need to go to, I will, of course, put on pants. I'm not, you know, trying to make myself look like a fool, but I will only wear pants when it is absolutely necessary. Other than that, I am that guy. I wear shorts. So I have shorts on today. And I know some of you are out there going, oh, Turtle, it is so cold outside. How can you wear shorts? Because I can. It's not that cold out. I am used, and I think it's largely to do with where I'm from. To me, this is mild, moderate. This is not freezing. This is not, you know, 10 degrees. This is not a wind chill factor of -3. This is moderate.
It's not bad. No, yesterday was cold. Yesterday was cold.
Well,
but that was also, I left here.
The wind.
The wind.
The wind.
The wind. Yeah. No, when I left here, when I left the studio last night, I covered Hawks. When I left the studio at about 2-ish in the morning, it was, feels like temperature was 19 degrees.
Okay, so that was, I wasn't out that late. I got done here at 10.
But that's cold. 19 in Atlanta
that's
is cold.
Fair. No, yeah, that's fair.
45 degrees, 30 degrees, I can, that's fine. It's more just the quick turnaround from when it was 60 degrees the other day to now 30. That's where it kind of punches.
And it's going to be back to 65 tomorrow.
Oh, and it's going to be so great. Yeah. I love it.
It's going to be back to 65 tomorrow.
We'll
but
be
just,
fine.
But just the amount of people, literally people stopping me on the street outside here at Colony Square. I had one dude come up to me. He's like, man, he's like, I'm so cold. I'm cold looking at you. He's like, how are you doing this right now? I'm like,
see,
I don't
know. Not
don't,
today,
it's,
though.
It's not that bad.
Yesterday, fine. Not today.
It's
today's
not,
fine.
It's not that bad.
It's really not. I feel like most things with weather and, you know, chill factor, cold weather, it's all mental. A lot of it's mental. A good bit.
And also, for the average person, which I am not, I get maybe here in Metro Atlanta, but I even walk to work.
Yeah, and then you're working, you're moving, and you're fine.
But like for the majority of the people, though, they're just getting in and out of their car.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still complaining that it's, oh, it's so cold.
Yeah, some people are also just a little soft when it comes to that. And look, I'm that way sometimes. Sometimes. Not often. But I will say, on a Friday night when I'm covering high school football games, I'm a little soft. That's when,
you
but that's also
you
because you're
up.
Standing. But it's because you're standing there.
Yeah.
And you're on a field, and I'm like, I got my phone out, and I'm like, I'm tweeting and doing everything else, like, during games. I'll get soft there. Or if I'm, like, doing Georgia Tech. Like, I'm at Georgia Tech. I'm at Bobby Dodd Stadium, and I'm there. I don't know if you've ever been to their press box before, but it's a wind tunnel. And if it is even slightly windy, it is freezing cold in
Fun
there.
Fun fact, I have never been inside a press box.
No
ever,
kidding.
Ever. Because I've never been a reporter.
Oh, I love press boxes.
I've never, and like with Dukes and Bell and stuff, like we don't go to the, we never went to press boxes.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but when you're in a press box, it's a completely different way to watch a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game or anything because you can't cheer. You know, you get in trouble for that.
Yeah, you essentially have to be silent.
You have to sit there. And I can, I feel some of my emotions and stuff. I'm like, I have to like hold them down.
Well, because you're covering feeling. The teams you grew up rooting for.
Sure.
Some of them.
Yeah, some of them. And it's like, and it's fun. And I enjoy it. And going in a press box is always.
Is there a dress code for a press box? Speaking of dress codes.
Yeah, I mean, sort of.
Like, could you wear in a press box a polo with khaki shorts?
Yeah.
You could wear.
You probably shouldn't wear shorts, truthfully. I don't generally wear shorts. I've worn them before. I feel a little uncomfortable. But I also think that I'm also different than you in the fact that I'll wear pants. You know, I wear khakis and stuff like that all the time. I'm a prep star. That's who I am. But it's like, if it's one of those types of events, then I'm not gonna wear shorts. I don't think shorts are appropriate personally, but that's also my opinion.
No, but I was just wondering if it's a rule.
Like not a hard and fast. It's kind of an it's an unspoken type of thing.
But like let's say it's the first week of high school season. And you're covering a game on the sidelines.
Oh, no, that's fine.
You could wear shorts.
Yeah, that's
right?
fine. Yeah. Now, if you cover, I've seen different levels of dressiness, I should say, for different sports. Like the NFL, people wear like jackets and ties and stuff like that for those games. Baseball, you see more shorts. You see a lot of blue jeans. You see a lot of more casual types of attire. Basketball, it's very, like, I don't know, modern sort of formal. You know, where people have sneakers and like the nice jeans and everything. It just varies per sport. Football, I see all kinds of different things. College football varies heavily.
I wouldn't do well. I wouldn't do well in those environments.
Yeah.
I don't wear pants. I'm not putting pants on, man.
Just not a pants guy.
I'm just not a pants guy. Never have been, never will be.
I respect that, though.
I don't like pants. It's too restrictive. I got big tree trunk, thick legs. Jeans don't fit right. The length and the waist don't add up. I'm kind of built like a box. It's it's not the easiest thing for me to find pants that fit, because usually it's like the waist will fit or the length won't fit or vice versa. It's a struggle, man. It's a struggle, but it's my cross.
You're like Abe, like in the fact that I've never seen him in pants. I rarely see.
No,
Abe.
I don't think I've really ever.
He
seen
wears
him in pants
athletic
either.
Shorts and some kind of an athletic T-shirt. When I have seen him in jeans or something where it's like he has wearing like a button down or something like that, I'm like, what is this? What's going on here?
I think the only time I ever saw Abe dress up was for 92.9 The Game night.
I think you're right. It was one of those.
I think that was the only time.
That's pretty much the only time that you'll ever see
him. I wore shorts to that. I did wear a button down, nice button down covering up. Like I had my 92.9 The Game shirt on with a nice button down over it and some khaki shorts. But so I didn't look like a slob, but you know.
That's fair.
I didn't have pants.
It just depends on what you want to do. I mean, to each their own.
I never picture myself having a job where I have to wear pants. Let's put it that way. Because I don't like, fun fact for me, I mean, maybe this will change later on in my career. I don't have the same like passion. I know that's where all the money is, so maybe that'll change for TV that I do for radio. Like, I have no interest in getting into TV in my career. Again, maybe that'll change, but...
See, I'm just told I have a face for radio, so I think I'm in the spot that I need to be.
Garrett, there are a lot of guys on TV that have no business being on TV.
Amen. No, if anybody out there, hey, I'll come in. I'll do a little guest spot. Just hit me up.
And then he'll wear pants. All right, with that said, let's get to five true and false.
All right, Chris. First thing that I had to put on this list, just because it's the first thing that I've been seeing on social media, especially this week, a lot of Brads and Chads from Podcast University all over the country, and it's getting a little annoying. So I want to ask you, I want to bring you to the mothership, the flagship of the Atlanta Falcons, and ask you this. Did the Falcons make the right decision halfway through the season now to trade a future first-round pick to go acquire James Pierce Jr.? True or false,
decision? True. Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris were operating that the same mindset we've been talking about all night. They knew they didn't have time to waste. That's not their pick as far as they're concerned. Because if they get that pick, if they get this season wrong, they wouldn't be there to make it anyway. So you might as well take advantage of it and try to stack the deck of cards as much as you could in your favor. They had an extra first-round pick next year to use it. They used it.
Yeah.
Like, everything else be damned. So I say absolutely true. And he's been pretty good. I mean, they're coming, both of them, Jalen Walker especially, is coming on over the last couple of weeks since he's been back. So I had no issue with it then because pass rush, we know how bad it's been here in Atlanta. Don't have an issue with it now.
Yeah, 3 sacks in his last 2 games does Jalen Walker have. James Pierce had a sack fumble in the most recent game, had a fumble recovery against the Patriots. I mean, he's had a very good season, and people who criticize the amount of tackles, the amount of sacks that he has, he is one of the best rookies as far as pass rushing goes, in terms of total pressures and stuff like that. And it's all lining up. His QB pressure rate is about 13-14%, which is very good. Let's just put it that way. Really good player, but the thing is, this team has 29 sacks right now. They are on pace to break the franchise record by leaps and bounds. 48 is the record. It was set back in 2004. 55 is what they are on pace for as of now. Acquiring James Pierce had a lot to do with that. True or false, the Atlanta Falcons can win their next 3 games. Will win their next 3 games.
It's Carolina, it's the Jets, and it's the Saints.
Correct.
Okay. No, false. Because why would I believe that? Because they've played close against good teams? Well, what happened when the games were close? They blew every single one of them. What, on what planet do I have any reason to believe that this team is going to win any game that they play? They've lost that respect for me this year. I don't believe going into the Falcons, let me say it this way declaratively in a nice soundbite. I do not believe going into any game for the rest of the season that the Falcons should win the game. They could win any game for the rest of the season, but I do not believe that the Falcons should win any game for the rest of the year.
Okay. Fair. A little upsetting. Fair.
It's where we are, dude. 3-6.
We got our Falcons true false questions. Number 3. You were on the phone today with Brian Daboll to bring him in as some kind of consultant, something. Just get him in the building, see what he can figure out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%. No, one better. I'm firing Zach Robinson and offering him the job spot on. Sign the deal, Dabes. You saw what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo. And then you saw what he did this year with Jackson Dart in New York. The reason that he lost his job in New York was not because of the quarterback. Ironically, the quarterback was the lone bright spot in New York. Bring him in here to fix Michael Penix Jr. yesterday. As far as I'm concerned, Brian Daboll should be the next offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. I don't care who the head coach is. I'm not giving him the head coaching job, but I'm certainly giving him the offensive coordinator job right now.
I do think there is a world that Joe Brady leaves the Bills and goes and gets a head coaching job somewhere. I would not be surprised that that happens. And if that's the case, I would not be surprised if Brian Daboll goes back home, you know, goes and coaches.
Well, yeah. Where would you rather go?
Josh Allen and that team. I mean, who's done a really good, I mean, look, he turned them into a bona fide contender. And I think he had a lot to do with the development of Josh Allen up there. And so did Joe Brady, all due respect. And I think Brady's going to go get another job, and Daboll's going to come back, and he's going to reset, get another job. Where that ends up being, who knows. But I'd say that there were a couple offensive-minded head coaches that might get the axe this season who may do pretty well to come here in Atlanta. There are some really interesting pieces here in Atlanta. You have some talent. You have some really good players. If the Falcons end up making a change, there are some people that they could definitely call and kind of reset the bill pretty quickly here for the Falcons. All right, number 4, Jalen Walker. He's missed a couple games, and he's coming on as of late, but he could still win the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got 8 games. If he plays over the next 8 games like he has in the past 2 or 3,
mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. Buckle up, buddy.
Yeah, last two games.
Yeah, I'm all on that train.
He's got 3 sacks. He's got a forced fumble. He's got a fumble recovery. He's been about as good as you could hope for. He is the guy who they drafted at number 15. He's an elite run stopper. He is showing some capability on the edge, and the way that he has developed and the way he's getting after quarterbacks, he's looking like the steal of the first round right now. At 15, he was very surprising that he dropped that far. But good for the Falcons and good for them. Good for Jalen Walker. He's doing really good job. And it's unfortunate that a lot of the other negative things around the Falcons right now are overshadowing just how good he's doing. He's got 4 sacks on the season. He could really turn it all around for this team. All right, number 5, Falcons will reach 8 wins.
Right now, false.
I can look at the schedule and I could say I can point to 5 games that I'd say that the Falcons have a decent enough chance.
You think they're going to win 6 out of their last 8 games?
I'm not saying they will. I'm saying that they would likely be favored in about 4 to 5 games.
So?
I'm just saying.
Like, so?
I'm just saying. They were also favored in Carolina.
Right.
They were also favored against the Miami Dolphins here a couple of weeks ago, their last home game. But they're going to be favored in a lot of these games as of right now.
Garrett,
that would get them to 8 wins.
Right now, no. They need 6 more wins to get to 8. It ain't happening. No. Sorry.
They need 5. 5 more to get to 8.
5 more to get to 8. Oh,
three.
Yeah, 5 more.
5 more to get to 8.
No. No.
So, 5 wins. I don't know. Obviously, it's not going to be enough to get to the postseason. You got to go
so
probably 7-1.
Sweep the Saints, beat Carolina, beat Tampa.
Yeah, I think they split. So when you project these games, I'd say they can absolutely split with the Bucs. They can do that, and they can sweep the Saints. I think that's not implausible. You would split with the Panthers. That's not implausible either. The Jets are a dumpster fire. They're worse than the Falcons are right now.
Jets are on a 2-game winning streak. Falcons are on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Like, again, they haven't earned it.
Who are the Jets' wins? They beat the Browns, and then who is the other one? It was a surprising one.
I think the Dolphins.
No, it wasn't. No, they lost the Dolphins. They lost the Dolphins. It was somebody else. I remember watching it. It was just a dumpster fire.
Oh, it was the Bengals.
Game. The Bengals. That's what it was. Yeah, that with Joe Flacco just became, he turned into a pumpkin there, and it was just not a very good situation. All right, last one, and this is quick, and this might be a segue here for you. Michael Penix is still the future of this franchise.
Yeah, yes, 100%. It's not even close. It's not him. It's the coaching. Period. Good job, G, on the 5 Falcons true and false questions. We'll get a producer 6-pack coming up. When we get back to the phones, 404-726-0929. Can this thing get turned around? The coaches are in desperation mode. They need to get Michael Penix Jr. back on track, or I believe pink slips are a-coming. Do you believe they can do it? Plus, what did Raheem Morris have to say? He met the media. We'll let you hear sounds from him as well. But back to your calls first and foremost, 404-726-0929 on the state of the Falcons. Can they get Michael Penix Jr. back on track? Could they possibly save their season? We'll talk about it with you on the phones next.